The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second half of the program is live. We will continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk about the Gators in a minute. And before we do that, let's get back to the calls. And feel free to call in. Jordan is up next in Kentucky. Thanks for the call, Jordan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hey, I said, get your insight. What kind of lightning in the bottle has Shiano caught up there in Rutgers? I've never seen anything like it. A team hadn't had a top 20 recruiting class in, I don't know when, 42nd in 2017, and they're set at number six. What do you think is going on over there?
Well, I think what it means is you finally have the right coach, and there was never a doubt. I mean, we knew he had done it before, but I'm really glad he took that job. I think he's gotten the short end of the stick a couple of times in recent years, and I am thrilled for him, and I hope it continues.
Do you think his track record is proven? He's seems like an underwhelming coach. He doesn't have
His first go around up there was pretty remarkable, and yeah, certainly the NFL experience was not good, but how many people outside of Bill Belichick have a good NFL resume? So, he was well thought of at Ohio State, which was the reason why he was about to become the Tennessee coach 4 years ago, and then that all blew up. And I'm just glad to see him resurrect his career. I think he'll back it up. I mean, he brings a lot of passion. He knows the territory, and I think that's what's important.
All right, Paul, one last thing. Do you think that Trevor Lawrence could be the next Sam Darnold, and the fact that going to a team, no weapons, no help, and in 3 years, will you talk about Trevor Lawrence like Sam Darnold?
Well, it's a good point, because Sam Darnold, many thought, was going to be the top pick as well, and he really was not helped by mismanagement. But I feel a little more comfortable with where he is and who his head coach is. I think Urban Meyer may have a much harder time in the NFL, but I think Trevor has the ability to withstand that. But ultimately, that's the problem in the NFL when you're a new quarterback and you don't have enough weapons, it will eat you up every time. But so I can't give you a definitive, guaranteed, declarative answer. But I feel more comfortable with him than I did with Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold did not have nearly the. I mean, Trevor will have a much better management team than Darnold. You couldn't have a worse management team than the Jets had back then. Let's continue, and Tom is up next. Hey, Tom, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, we're doing great. Thank you.
My daughter plays softball, and she played tennis. And my grandson plays football for Columbia. I played football in high school, and I played tennis in college. And my question for you today is, how do you think Alabama softball team's going to do, and when is the last time they won a national championship?
Well, they've won championships in the past, as you know, Tom. Thank you for the call. I keep up with women's softball. It's fun to watch, very exciting. And I think they're in great shape. But trying to predict the nuances of softball is way beyond my power as a commentator. Anyway, we'll continue with more calls. Let's go to Ray, who is up next in Indiana. Hey, Ray, thanks. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
Hey, bear with me for a minute. I talked to you a week ago about the Kurt Warner movie coming out. You said you were going to talk to his agent. Does he have a female agent or a male agent?
I really don't know. I mean, I know there's been some contact, but I can't promise you I have a date yet.
Okay, because the movie was been in the works for like 8 years. I didn't know the movies took that long, but then he was supposed to get it out last year.
Well, you have to remember, Ray, nothing in the last year, very little has happened in Hollywood.
Right.
Virtually nothing.
So with this virus cure, that's what I was hoping you can get him out.
Yeah, no, I can tell you, because I have some relationships out there, that things are happening now in Hollywood, but everything is a year behind.
Right. So that with the virus cure, you think they might be able to get it out this summer instead of...
Yeah, I don't know who's doing it. I've dealt with Hollywood in my recent career, and it's, I'll watch my words carefully here. But there's never a guarantee out there, even when you think there is. So let me do some more checking, and I'll report back.
Okay, thank you. But, that's a perfect example. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, and Kurt Warner was a free agent, stocked groceries for 5 years. So you never know who's going to really pan out until they get on the field and play for a few years at any level.
That is correct. It's always confusing. It's always debatable. And I think in Brady's case, you saw potential. I ran into someone very close to Brady the other day. And because sometimes if you identify too much, it's going to give the person away. And I don't want to do that. But this person knows Tom extremely well. And Tom Brady is one of these people, and there are a lot of them out there in all walks of life, that loves to overcome the doubters. And in my mind, that's really, other than his ability, and he has ability, but Tom Brady has always been motivated by doing things to prove others wrong. And that's think about all the athletes in the world that we know that do the same thing. What motivates an athlete? Is it money? Is it ego? Is it the love of the game? But what usually, one of the undercurrents is trying to prove people wrong. It's applicable in every walk of life, and sometimes it's dangerous, and sometimes it is the secret ingredient.
Well, you know what? You can gauge their 40 time lifting weights, but you can't gauge a person's heart.
No, and that's why I hear all the time people say, "Well, that guy's a can't miss. He's a five star." But once you get into the action, you don't know. You really just don't know. Anyway, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We are going to take a break here. More of your phone calls. I realize there's a lot of news going on at this hour, and it's one thing we don't talk about very often, but you folks, we appreciate you listening. We want you to, but it is just, the news has just broken from Minneapolis that the police officer, Derek Chauvin, has been found guilty on all accounts. That story literally a couple of seconds old. So that will be debated about from one end of this country, if not the world. But that is the breaking news from Minneapolis. We will take a break. More to come and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. More of your phone calls in a minute. Right now, we're getting back to our guests, and Alan Taylor joining us from The Athletic. Great to have him here, talking so often about the Gators and other things. And Alan, good to have you back with us. How's it going, and what have you learned this fall? This fall. How about this spring?
Yeah, no worries having your seasons mixed up after the year we've gone through. But doing well, man, doing well. The Gators got through spring practice about a month, maybe a month and a half earlier than normal, and so they were really ahead of the buck, and it almost seems like spring practice was 6 months ago since they attacked it so early. It's a program that's going to have a lot of replacements, coming in, especially on the offensive side next year, and if they can find a way to score even within 8 or 10 points of what they did last year, they might have a shot.
Well, let's talk about that. First of all, and we had Dan Mullen on here the other day, and he somewhat explained it, but the early spring and no game, what was the reason for that?
I think the timing, I appreciated it. I mean, they for one thing, if you have any injuries, it gives you that extra month and a half, maybe even 2 months to recover before the season. And also the weather, obviously down here in Florida, was perfectly fine, you know, during February to start attacking it. And it gives you time as a player to watch cut-ups of yourself for a longer period of time versus watching cut-ups of other guys doing what you're supposed to do. So, you know, I appreciate the teaching aspect of it. Not having a spring game and not having even a scrimmage that could be televised live, I think that's a missed opportunity, man. I know you're Florida. I know your brand is recognizable. I get all that. But, man, to have 2.5-3 hours on a Saturday of just you on the sideline and your guys making plays out there, I don't understand why you would punt on that. Even the teams that weren't on the main ESPN channel Saturday, you know, got a lot of run. And for Florida, obviously their spring game or spring scrimmage could have been 5-6 weeks ago. I think they would have owned that Saturday, quite honestly. So I think that's, you know, from a branding standpoint and reaching recruits, I think that was a missed opportunity.
That's so interesting, too, because...
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It also is a gift to the fans, and I sit here sometimes, Alan, and raise my eyebrows because fans are either too excited or too distraught on what they see. And you and I both know that the scrimmages are purely for the interest of the coaches, not for the fans. But that's another thing. At least it gives people a chance to take their kids to a game. They probably normally don't get to go to the Georgia game maybe because of the price. And they participate. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I think that is a miss. And speaking of misses, I've asked you this before, and I know that Florida is active in the portal. But where is Florida right now just overall? And I ask that – I don't mean that to be open-ended to write a thesis on, but you know, last year was a big opportunity, and you wonder, you know, when you get opportunities like that again.
Yeah, it was because, you know, there's really, and I know a lot of teams say this, but in Florida's case, it's true. There were probably two, maybe three plays, and they weren't even scoring plays. They weren't touchdowns you gave up, but three plays all season that prevented them from being in the college football playoffs. You know, a fumble, a thrown shoe in just a moment of, you know, undiscipline, and then really, I think an interception against Alabama that turned into a fumble and gave Alabama the ball right back in the SEC championship game. If two of those three plays don't occur, and quite honestly, two of them are sort of unforced errors, then, you know, I think Florida is 11-1 and probably a 4 seed in the college football playoff. There's no excusing what happened against Oklahoma, but clearly that was a mindset of a program that had checked out and including some of their star players. So, it's a good but not great program right now and in the SEC to, you know, to hang up a banner and to get to the college football playoff. you got to be great. So Florida's a couple rungs below that. And, you know, those plays happened last year because Florida wasn't great, you know. You can't blame external factors. They were sort of unforced errors, as I said. And so I think, you know, those moments you have to capitalize on. And Florida's probably going to take a step back this year, definitely on the offensive side. It's just a matter of if the defense can, you know, get its act together after, you know, really disappointing last year. You know, that will decide whether they can even stay on the field with Georgia this year.
Alan Taylor with us from The Athletic, and I know that some people will interpret this the wrong way, but it's not a new conversation for the two of us. And you know, we're sitting here well into Dan Mullen's tenure, and it, you know, these are, I wonder, are these questions that should be asked? Because you know, he's an accomplished coach. You know, it was almost Dickens-esque in the sense that it was the best of times and the worst of times. The best of times, exactly what you just got through saying, the worst of times, there were countless situations where he walked and stepped into it, and the, you know, abominable ending to the season. And even though recruiting was better, it's still not at Georgia's level. And I think, you know, our fans asking that question, when will it be, if ever?
Yeah, I mean, a three-year honeymoon is something that, you know, we can only dream of, right? I mean, mine was 2 weeks, and it seemed like it was forever. but, you know, he got there at a point, again, where they had been 4-7 the year before. So that's the perfect situation at a program like Florida. To some degree, you know, Nick Saban stepped into a perfect situation in Alabama coming off the Shula years where, you know, any progress is seen as big progress. And so I think Mullen has done an above average job of stabilizing things and getting this thing back to where it should be. For me, the floor for this Florida program should always be, in a normal season, 8 wins. Like, you shouldn't do worse than that. And in a normal season where you have 4 non-conference games and you've got the talent that you have. So far, you know, 10-3, 11-2, and then last year, 8-4 against an all-Power 5 schedule. So he has stabilized it. Now, he came from an era when Urban Meyer was here and he was the chief play caller, where 8-4 would have been reason to, you know, picket the swamp. So this fan base is ready to get back to where they were 13 or 14 years ago, when they were not only in the SEC championship game, but they were expected to win it, and they were, you know, at that point expected to get to the BCS title game. And the talent isn't here on paper to do that. But that doesn't preclude them from, you know, developing players and having guys play over their heads to get there. Again, it's early. I don't think this is a year where that can happen. But you hate to punt it ahead to 2022. But by 2022, if Florida isn't there, then that, you know, I think you really have to look at it and say, okay, let's assess whether it's ever going to get there or not. A decent 3-year run so far, but now, you know, he's really on the clock as far as hanging up some banners and making this an elite, you know, top 5 program.
And Alan, would you agree, disagree? This was the moment to do it. And I say that with Florida State reeling, maybe stabilizing now, but, you know, it's, you know, in recent memory, it's hard to imagine a great program. And we're talking about a program from the late 80s until about 10 years ago. Let me correct myself. And, you know, through 2014, that was at the top of the food chain, you know, national championships, near misses. And with that program in ruin, it's no longer, but it was. It just seemed like, and I don't want to say missed opportunity yet, because it is premature, but it's never been, to me, it's never been, Florida's never been in a better position to take advantage.
Yeah, and, you know, you hate to play the what-if game, but let's look at last year. You know, if they're playing, I think it was South Alabama, and if they have those non-conference games and they get a shot at Florida State, who I don't think would have beaten them last year, even in Tallahassee, you know, they don't have that A&M game, which became a Week 3 loss. That was a game that was added on because of COVID when we went to the All-SEC schedule. So there were factors that weighed in Florida's favor last year in having really an older, experienced team. Some of these guys weren't even NFL draft picks, I don't think, but they were fifth-year seniors, which, quite honestly, is a really good fit in college when you got guys that stay around that long and know the system. So they had a few assets lined up. And then, you know, Trask just balls out for really every game all season, just a tremendous year. And you have a generational tight end in Pitts and a really good receiving core. So, you know, again, it comes down to a couple of sort of internalized mistakes that kept him from achieving it. So I think by the Cotton Bowl, the fan base had reconciled that to the extent of, wow, this could have been something. And it turns out it was just okay. But within missing that college football potential invitation, you did have a team that beat Georgia, that won its first SEC East crown in 3 years, that made some strides. So, you know, it's teetering on whether you're optimistic or really depressed about what could have been. There were so many scintillating moments last year offensively and so many moments defensively that just left you scratching your head. Championships are won typically when those sides sort of come up at the same time, and Florida just didn't quite get it done last year.
Alan, do we know any more about the reports in January? And they were brief, and I'm not sure they were ever completely addressed. You tell me. In relation to, I think it was Adam Schefter who reported that Mullen's agent was looking around the NFL.
Yeah, I think that was something leaked to sort of help with contract negotiations. I don't think that Mullen has never been contacted by an NFL franchise. I'm just not sure that last year was the time. And it might, you know, his opportunities to make an NFL jump last year, you know, probably were sullied by some of the PR hits he took during the season. You know, they ended the season on a 3-game losing streak. For better or worse, he's dressed as Darth Vader on Halloween, and then, you know, he really got beat up nationally and even locally for, you know, wanting to pack the swamp at a point where COVID wasn't sort of being managed. So, you know, I think that all fed into it. I also think that he and a lot of really good college coaches just don't know what kind of bidding wars they're about to get into on the recruiting trail once name, image, and likeness comes down the pike. I think they understand that it's time for the athletes to get in on that revenue pie, but how it's going to be handled and how guys at one program are going to be, you know, for lack of a better word, tampered with to try to come and have endorsements waiting at another program. You know, there are some unintended consequences that are going to have to be figured out by the NCAA in handling that. And that could already take a pretty tawdry recruiting process and, you know, make it more so if that's possible. So I think that's...
Is there a sense in Florida, because Florida has been at the vanguard of that the Gators will benefit from that?
I don't know. I think a lot of elite programs have got a structure in place to deal with it. I really do. I mean, I think even West Virginia and programs like that were signing up consultants to sort of talk guys through it. So we'll see, man. I just have no idea. And I think anybody that tells you that a car dealership's going to give, you know, 10 players on a team $50,000 to $100,000 each, is, even in a program like Alabama or somewhere like that, I just don't see that happening. I mean, how many of these guys are truly marketable in a high dollar situation? But, you know, Marco Wilson, a guy who's projected as a fifth round draft pick for Florida, has a ton of followers on YouTube and Twitch, and probably could have been making a decent income last year just by doing that. And he's a fifth round draft pick who didn't leave Florida on the best of terms with the fan base. So, you know, it's there, and how coaches manage it is sort of it's really going to be a headache, especially for coaches who don't love recruiting already, who love coaching and love roster management, but really don't love, you know, the ins and outs of having to get guys to campus.
Great conversation with Alan Taylor of The Athletic. Alan, thanks for spending some time. We always enjoy it, and hope you'll come back.
Paul, my pleasure, man. Y'all take care, all right?
Great conversation. So in-depth. We have a lot of time to chat tonight. Sometimes first half of the show, we pretty much been buckled down with guests, but if you're just, we're not stuck on subjects, so if you got something on your mind, there's a lot going on right now in the country and in sports, give us a ring. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We'll spend a little bit of time in the final hour with Bill Connolly, but other than that, it's open for you. If you have been trying to get in and have not made it, this is your moment. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here on a very busy news day in the world and this country, and we are talking sports here. One of those days when there's almost a split screen between what's happening in the sports world and what's happening over in the real world. 855-242-7285 is the number, and let's get back to the calls. And Nick is up next. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South. How you doing today?
Nick, I am doing great. What about you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Me and Miss Kathleen got married April the 3rd. I'm been trying to call and let you know.
No. Hold on a second. I'm just going to relax here for a second while you tell us the whole story.
Yeah, man, Kathleen, you know, when I talked to you, you know,
Kathleen.
Yeah, well, we finally tied the knot, Paul, after 30 years.
Now, Nick, I don't mean to turn this into the newlywed game from yesteryear, but is there a reason why it took 30 years to decide to get married?
Well, we ain't getting no younger, Paul.
No, I'm well aware of that, but 30 years is a long time.
Well, it had a lot to do, Paul, with I don't know how to explain it. It had a lot to do with income. Income, Paul. Income. Money.
Well, no, Nick, that's not it. I mean, I got married. I had no money at all, and you make the most of it.
Well, I know, Paul, but when when we're making money, which we make good money, but when you come to trying to buy a house and stuff, you have to use two incomes and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, Nick, I'm aware of that. I haven't bought a lot of homes in my life, but I bought a couple, one or two, and yeah, you're right. It does take. I couldn't have done either one without my wife.
Yeah, but see, Paul, I'm going through the VA because I'm a veteran. You know that.
Okay.
Spent a lot of years in the Navy, so they wouldn't take my income unless, you know, Kathy couldn't be on the note in case something happened to me and stuff like that. You know how it works.
Okay, so now you're married. I'll quit asking the 30-year question. Everything good?
Oh, everything's great, Paul. I mean, it's fine. We had a great wedding. I had it out here in the backyard at my house, and
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, Nick, but Pete, you know, I've only been married once, so I'm no expert on marriage. But they always tell you that, you know, when you ever heard this line about buying a car, you know, the second you ride off the lot, the value of the car goes down.
Exactly. Yeah, I've bought a few cars in my time.
Is it the same way once you get married?
Well. No, not really, Paul, I don't think, because, you know, me and Kathy, you know, there ain't nothing going down. I mean, you know, after 30 years, it stays the same pretty much.
Okay, well, good. Well, as long as you guys are happy.
Oh, we're great. We're happy. I mean, we're getting along, but I mean, you know, it's. But I do have something I want to say today that when you were dead on with your points about these spring games and stuff. I listened to the show today a little bit.
Right.
And the spring games are strictly for the entertainment of the, you know, the crowds and whatever. No coach is going to show what they got coming into the fall. And like I say, Alabama had over 20 people not playing and stuff like that. So you don't know what we're going to have. But one question is, who's going to be in the backfield for Alabama besides Brian Robinson? Who do you
think? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That is a good question, Nick. Let's wait a little longer and say, hey, by the way, congratulations to you and your bride. And I pose this question. Is that the longest courtship has anyone ever heard? It's the longest one I've ever heard. Just think about this. And I say this to the gentleman out there. How long could you have, when you got married, how much longer could you have drug it out? I mean, I'm telling you, not to turn this into Dr. Phil today, but every man out there comes to a point in a relationship early on. I'm speaking more of younger people, but maybe because I was married when I was younger, not older. But every man has looked at, said to his friends, you know, if I really don't want to get married today or tomorrow, whenever the date is, but if I don't do it now, she's leaving. How in the world did Nick pulled this thing off for 30 years. I didn't buy his explanation. I really didn't. I just did not buy that. Did anyone buy it? I'm curious. Can anyone go over 30 years in terms of relationship before you got married? I'm just curious. Let's talk to Pierre in Louisiana. Hello, Pierre.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
I am doing great. What about you?
I'm doing fine. Today, I would just like to say that LSU is going to be the best football team in the entire United States this coming year.
Well, that's...
They've got talent, and they are going to beat Alabama so bad, Alabama won't know what hit them.
Well, okay, well, that's... That's interesting. Do you have anything other than your devotion to the Tigers that are helping you back that one up?
Well, I saw Miles Brennan this spring,
okay.
And he looked sharp to me. He looked like he had it together, and he was going to carry on in the footsteps of his mentor, Joe Burrow, and he's going to lead the Tigers on to glory.
Okay, Pierre, thanks for the call. You take care of yourself. How about JB in Alabama? Hey, JB, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, so I just wanted to jump back a couple weeks, and I know you said coming back from the break that, you know, there's a fine line nowadays between sports and, you know, outside of sports. And couple weeks ago, Atlanta having the All-Star game pulled because of the voting issues,
right,
and so forth. And then I thought that having Hideki Matsuyama win the Masters was one of the most special things that's happened in athletics in a long time, as far as I can say. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but I was pulling for Jordan Spieth personally the entire time, but it was emotional watching a non-American.
I agree with you on that, and I think especially today. And I say this, and let's not act like none of us know what's going on right now in the world. There's a great reaction from one end of this country to the other. In fact, around the world to the verdict that just came in a few minutes ago in Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
And there's such a I already have seen. I'll just read you this bulletin from ESPN, which is where I work, because I think it's so interesting. It says, Derek Chauvin found guilty of murder in George Floyd's death. Killing was catalyst for sports world's social justice movement. And it is interesting because we sat here a year, from Memorial Day on, and the topic of conversation was the reaction to what had happened, and it was not directly connected to sports until sports figures made it connected.
Absolutely.
And I think in your case involving Hideki, I was really happy for it because to me it was I thought. And one reason I didn't think he'd win was this. I was wrong, of course. I thought the pressure of that entire, of the Japanese world, being such golf fanatics and being such a large country, I thought it might be too much because, Jordan Spieth.
I couldn't agree more, Paul. Yeah, I felt like, that could have been one of the highest rated television events in the history of Japan. And I don't know anything about that for fact, but I can't imagine that there was many people in Japan whose televisions weren't tuned in to the Masters.
Yeah, we're talking about a country with 127 million people, and there could have been, not that I keep up with the Japanese media very often, but there couldn't have been anything more important. And I don't know. I'm not being anti-patriotic here, but we all, when the women's soccer or other
Absolutely.
Moments
yeah.
in history, whether even going back 40 years to the USA hockey team, but I can't imagine. I can't come up with a more pressurized situation for a young man, especially knowing the absolute devotion that Japanese people have for golf. It's so critically important
right.
to them.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, Paul, and I just want to get your take on that, and I thought it was fantastic for sports as a whole, and thanks, and take care.
Thank you very much. Yeah, a lot on the table. We're kind of having a pretty laid-back afternoon here, which is a relief. If you want to give us a ring, we're here for the next hour and change, 15 minutes. More phone calls at 855-242-7285, and another guest at the top of the hour. A lot of guests earlier, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. And more of your calls ahead, and Bill Connelly also on the Super League conversation. The genesis of this was what was happening in Europe in soccer. It doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but you've got a lot of people in college football talking. Let's get back to the calls, and Tim is up next in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. Great show, and first-time caller. Really enjoy your insight on everything. I just had a question, what your thoughts are, and you may have answered this, recently with all that you're doing in the media, but I'm concerned. I'm a big Miami Hurricane fan, and I'm just concerned that they're sort of treading that water, the 7-5, 8-4 teams, that it just doesn't seem like, to me, they have been able to recruit, skill running backs, linebackers, and they just, it seems like, Diaz, great. I really like him, and I think their offensive coordinator's good, but there's something still missing, it seems like to me.
I agree, and I remember last year I thought there were some really good moments. The year before, I remember being at the Florida-Miami game in Orlando, and I really thought Miami was going to win the game. And they laid an egg there. And to me, it has just been a calamity of misfires when the program had to get over the hump. And if you go back to the Notre Dame win a couple of years ago when Rick was there, that was just so emblematic to me of what is happening today. And I think it's important. I think the one thing they can't afford is to show up against Alabama and just get taken apart. And have people doubting, because that is a game that every young prospect in America is going to be watching. And if Miami is not competitive, then you have to ask yourself, if you're a five-star kid anywhere in the country, why go there when I can go to Alabama?
That's such a great point. And I'll tell you, if I had to guess the score right now, I'd probably say 45-20. And I obviously Alabama.
No, I agree.
I just hope,
Hey, Tim, I hate to run. We're up against the top of the hour, but thank you for the call. Very good call. We have a long way to go. I know we've got a couple of folks on hold. We will get to you. We're not going anywhere for the next hour. A lot to do and more of your phone calls.